Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Karen Scharf, co-chair of the Working Families Party and executive director of Citizens Action. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
Always great to have you back here. Karen, I guess I want to get right to it. So is there any buyer's remorse in the fact that...
You are getting right to it.
In the fact that you guys nominated Andrew Cuomo instead of Zephyr Teachout on the gubernatorial line because... Apparently, from all reports, he is not being nice to you now.
No buyer's remorse. We made a decision based on the fact that the Working Families Party's goal is to pass legislation and policies that are going to benefit working families in New York. Things like higher minimum wage, the Women's Equality Act, public financing of elections so people can run for office with small donations and not have to be accountable to large special interests and well-connected CEOs, and a host of other issues that we work on every day and have worked on for the past 16 years of our history. And we feel the best way to get that done is to elect a Democrat working family Senate that's going to vote for these issues. And our endorsement of the governor is part of our plan to work together with him to both elect the Senate and to pass the legislative agenda in 2015.
Yeah, but then he goes out and Working Families was doing extremely well. Was it ballot row C?
D.
Yep. They were coming up. And he goes out and he puts together this Women's Equality Party, which is going to certainly draw off votes, you know, from the Working Families Party. And better analysts than I have said it was a dirty trick and it hurt the people who went out and nominated him. In other words, you guys.
I have a couple different thoughts on that. First, I want to say just generally that women's equality is a nice campaign message, but it doesn't mean anything if it's only a campaign message. What means something is, are we going to actually pass the Women's Equality Act or not? And also, not just the Women's Equality Act, but a higher minimum wage is a women's issue. Public funding of elections that allow women to run for office and win is a women's issue. Public school funding is a women's issue. All of the issues that we work on, in addition to the Women's Equality Act, are important issues to make women's lives better in New York State. So what really counts is not what you campaign on, but what you do programmatically and policy-wise, and a strong Democrat Working Family Senate is the only way we're actually going to pass these bills. So I think the best way to get to actually win women's equality is to elect the right senators, and that's what we're very focused on. So that's one thing. Second thing is, you know, I don't think there was a need for a women's party. Women are the majority of voters. We don't need to be pigeonholed in a separate party. And I strongly encourage women in general, and especially women who want to see advances in women's equality in New York State, to vote the WFP line.
So, albeit, you've just been mentioning the importance of a Democratic Senate. It looks now like it's dubious. I mean, it's going to be very, very close. And some of the great heroes and heroines of the recent election when Obama was leading the ticket are now in some danger, like Cecilia Kacik.
Yep.
What's your, and nobody's smarter than you are about this stuff, but what do you think the chances of a Democratic Senate are right now?
I still feel optimistic. You know, we all knew going into this year that the mid-year elections are always tougher for Democrats. And so we won critical races in 2012 and need to now defend those in 2014 in a much tougher year for Democrats.
And yeah,
we
want
to pick up
some
others.
Yeah.
We don't have Obama. We don't have the Democratic turnout. And it's, you know, nationally, we're seeing it being a more Republican year and also a very low turnout year. So we're fighting that uphill battle. Despite that, our candidates are both the incumbents and the challengers in the seven most hotly contested races in the state, and a couple others are very strong candidates. The three incumbents that we elected 2 years ago that are in tight races this year have all done a fantastic job of representing their districts. And you mentioned Cecilia Kacik. She's been incredibly strong on bringing school funding into the district, despite the fact that the Republican senators didn't want to do it. She's been incredibly strong on raising the minimum wage, on protecting small business and farmers, and a whole host of issues that people in her district, which is actually where I live, feel very strongly about, and people want to see her reelected because of those issues. So I think that despite it being a tough year, she's going to pull it out, and I think that will be the case in a number of the other districts as well.
Okay, so Karen, the last thing I ever want to do is give you a hard time. But here on the WAMC version of Hard Talk, there is a sense that Andrew Cuomo never wanted a Democratic Senate. He always wanted a Republican group like his father. They could be the bad guys. They could say no to any progressive stuff. He could say, it's not my fault. They won't give it to me because that's who they are. So, you know, come on now. I'm going to give you a little sodium pentothal now, Karen. And not the usual, you know, palaver, but I want to know, do you think he really wants a Democratic Senate?
You know, honestly, it's impossible for me to know what he really wants.
But he promised you that, right? That
promised,
was the way
yes.
you guys gave him that nomination for the Working Families Party.
Yeah, so what I was going to say, it's impossible for me to know what he really wants. What I do know is that he made a commitment to our entire convention and in public and many, many times since that he's going to work hard to elect a Democrat Working Families Senate. He's endorsed our candidates.
Is he out there plowing the fields?
The state committee is putting resources into the races. I'm not part of the coordinated campaign, so I have no way of knowing what he really is or isn't doing. I guess we'll all know in the next couple of weeks.
You may never know. I mean, you may never know. He may say one thing and not work hard enough to get them elected. And some of the analysis I've read is he's very angry at the Working Families Party because you guys made him, you know, hold the coals in his hand and say he would be for a Democratic Senate when he didn't really want to be. He may have been embarrassed by that. That may screw up his entire race to the presidency. If you think about it for a second, he wants to be Clinton. He wants to be a financial conservative and a social liberal. And by electing a Democratic Senate, that would screw things up for him.
Well, he said to us at our convention, he said in many other settings since then, that he strongly wants to see the Women's Equality Act passed, which we can't do with a Republican Senate. They've made that very clear. He's also spoken for the past 4 years and back in his campaign in 2010, and even back in 2002, about how strongly he wants to reform Albany and pass public funding of elections. He can't do that with a Republican Senate.
He's got $45 million. What do you mean change the system? He's in the system.
He's definitely in the system, but these are the things he says he wants to do. I can't read the guy's mind. These are the things he says he wants to do. And if he wants to actually do them, he needs a different Senate. And that's what he said to us going into the convention. It's what he said at the convention. It's what he said in many campaign stops since the convention is that he needs a Senate that's going to pass his agenda. And his agenda for 2015 is different than his agenda was before. The agenda he had before, the Republican Senate did what he needed. That's not going to be the case going forward. And so I think he's better off politically, and New York State is certainly way better off if we have a Democrat Working Families Party Senate that's going to represent working people in New York and do the things that working people need instead of doing the bidding of the wealthy and well-connected, which is what we're seeing from the Republican Senate candidates who refuse to raise the minimum wage, who refuse to pass the Women's Equality Act, who refuse to pass public funding of elections. I mean, these guys are against the things that are going to make people's lives better every single day. And so I think it's clear it's way better for New York to have a Democrat Working Families Party Senate, and I think for that reason it's better for the governor as well.
Well, you have now mentioned a couple of times the Cuomo push for the Women's Equality Act. Now, this is kind of confusing for a lot of people. There were nine parts to it. Was it nine parts? One part was contentious, which the Republicans didn't want to go for because they were afraid of facing some primaries and losing their offices. So could you explain all that to us?
So the Women's Equality Act, as you said, it's a 10-point agenda that deals with a number of different issues that affect women's equality, to keep it simple, and that make it more possible for women to have basically economic equality and reproductive rights being one important piece of that. And as you said, the plank that the Republicans were most opposed to was on reproductive rights, although honestly, they also watered down the other nine in order to make it seem that they would pass. And so they say they were for all nine, but they were for a watered-down version of all
nine. Did they pass the other nine?
They did, but in the watered-down version, they never passed the 10th plank, and it really was a package, and I don't think that anybody could logically argue that you can have women's equality without reproductive rights. It's impossible.
Okay, well, you know, Andrew Cuomo always argues, as you know, as he did with the reapportionment question that exists on the ballot, that, you know, you make progress little by little. So why didn't you guys take the nine and then say we'll pass the 10th later on?
It's very important to pass the whole package because it's the way that we get actual progress for women. And the Republicans were, you know, holding hostage to their political views because of their electoral ambitions. I think we get a better women's equality package, not just on the 10th plank, but on all 10 with a Democrat Working Families Senate that actually believes in and cares about women's equality rather than just it being a bunch of rhetoric.
So you thought all or nothing is better than take something and claim victory.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely times when it's important to take something and move forward. And there are other times when you really have to fight for the bigger picture. And this is one of the situations where the entire coalition felt that it was important to go for the full 10. And as did the governor argue for that as well.
Let's move from that to something we just mentioned, which is the ballot proposition that in 10 years, you can hear my voice, there will be an outside group of graybeards who will draw the districts. And if the legislature doesn't like it, then the legislature gets to do the same stuff stupid thing that they've always been doing, which is to draw their own districts so only the folks in the majority parties can win. I find this reprehensible. I wonder about you.
Totally agree with you on this one. Citizen Action opposes Proposition 1, encourage people to vote it down. This is definitely an example where a little bit of progress is not worth it because it's just not real progress. And it, by, because it's a constitutional amendment, it embeds in our Constitution a bad system. I would rather come back, take another crack at this one, you know, get a stronger and more independent or more nonpartisan system.
Because people are ticked off, right? I mean, they really are. So you lose that. The moment you pass this namby-pamby sort of silly thing, you lose all of that angst that has developed.
That's right. You lose the momentum. And then also, it's just once we've amended the Constitution, it's hard to amend it again. It's better to move forward legislatively with a better plan in the future and not amend the Constitution for something that's really not an improvement and maybe even moves us backwards depending on how it all gets implemented. Yeah. So we encourage people to vote it down.
No, Karen Schroff, I have to say this to you. I don't think most people have the slightest idea about what state government is.
Yeah, it's probably true.
They don't.
Luckily for them.
So they're going to walk into that voting booth and they're going to see something say, an amendment to have an outside group do the apportionment, and they're going to say, that sounds good. They're not going to have the sort of sophistication about it. How do you get people to be smarter about politics?
You know, a lot of what we do at Citizen Action is to try to spread information, to educate people about politics and about issues, because it is, even though we live in an information age, people have very little information, and a lot of the information is very confusing and not truthful. And so a lot of what we do on a very day-to-day basis, especially outside the electoral season, but even during it, is bring basic factual information to people. And on this issue, on the redistricting amendment, I know Common Cause has been working really hard to get the word out and inform voters about the reality of this amendment and why it's not nonpartisan and why it's not a good step forward.
NYPIRG, too.
And yeah. NYPIRG as well, yes. Yeah. Both of those groups have been very effective on this.
But still, some people fall for it, like I believe the League of Women Voters and some of the other guys, Dick Dady down there in New York, disgraceful. And they say something's better than nothing. But you and I agree, something is not better than nothing.
Not in this case. You know, a lot of times you got to take something. This is not a case where this something is not better than nothing, in my opinion. And I think that that's, you know, and that's in a lot of the work that we do, both Citizen Action and Working Families Party, you push really hard to get the best possible outcome. Sometimes you have to settle, but sometimes that settling is just not worth it. And this redistricting amendment is one of those cases. And, you know, as we go into 2015, there's going to be a lot of big issues at stake. And we need to really, I think, for just average working New Yorkers, we've got to make progress. And it's very clear we're not going to make progress if we have a Republican Senate once again.
Let me talk to you about another controversial subject that almost always comes up on this program, and that's the Moral Endowment Commission. The governor appoints a commission to go after corruption and the rest of it, and he creates this thing, and he says, so you can go wherever you want to go. You could go wherever you want because it's important. And then when the hounds are getting a little too close, he says, no, I'm closing it down. And when they say, how can you do that? Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, was furious. How can you do that? He says, well, it's my commission. I can do whatever I want. What do you think about that?
We definitely did not agree with the shutting down of the commission. We thought the commission was on the right track. Their number one recommendation was public funding of elections. And we think the most important thing is actually for the legislature and the governor to get the Moreland Commission's number one recommendation done. And in addition to that, we thought that we're glad that Preet Bharara has picked up the work of the commission in terms of the prosecutorial side, because some of those, there's clearly a lot of things that they
really
were gathering.
Know yet.
We don't know what he's going to do, but it seems like he's continuing their investigations is what he said. And I think that that's worthwhile. It is true that the governor primarily created the commission in order to make policy change and to do the research and investigation to reach policy recommendations. And they did complete that part of their work. And, you know, we strongly support their number one recommendation, a small donor matching system so that small donors and voters actually control our elections instead of it being completely controlled by the money.
I would remind you that he's got $45 million, most of which is given to him by really large donors.
And that's why we need to change the system. He's now accountable to those large donors, and it's a huge problem for New Yorkers, just like it is with every legislative candidate who's accountable to large donors. We've got to have a different system, or our democracy is going to continue to be bought and sold. And I want to go back to saying that that's why, you know, I would recommend that your listeners, strongly urge your listeners to vote on the WFP line for state Senate, but also for governor this year, because it sends a strong message that people want to see fair elections passed and an increase in the minimum wage and the Women's Equality Act and the DREAM Act and marijuana decriminalization and public school funding and all the issues that affect the everyday lives of working New Yorkers. If the WFP has a strong vote and if we elect our Senate candidates, we have a shot and we have the leverage to try to win those things. It's still going to be an uphill battle, but we have a really good shot if we get the vote we need in November.
Now, I have to say, Karen, you know how much I think of you and how bright you are. You are. But I have to say something. because you endorsed the governor, I know why you did it. You said you did it because, you know, you wanted to be in a working coalition that would achieve change. But had you endorsed Zephyr Teachout, I think what would have happened is that a lot of people who are going to vote for the Green Party guy, Howie Hawkins, would have voted on your line. And what you just said about how important it is for the Working Families Party to get all those votes would have happened much more easily. That's why I asked you in the beginning about buyer's regret. Mm-hmm.
There's no question, and we knew this before the convention from both public polling and our own internal polling, there's no question in my mind that had we endorsed Zephyr Teachout, we would have gotten a bigger vote on our line than we're going to get from Andrew Cuomo, even if we do really well. That was clear before the convention. It's clear now. And that would have been great for our ballot position, but we had to weigh that.
Reminding everybody that the ballot position in line A, B, C, and D determined by how many votes you got in the election.
Right. So yeah. We're now row D. I think we would have moved up had we done that. Okay. But we had to weigh that with the other set of considerations, which is we really created the party not just to have a good ballot position. We created the party to make people's lives better every day. And we had to, in the end, make our decisions based on what's going to make working people's lives in New York better every day. And those are the, and that really, there's really no way to do that except to pass legislation.
But you must be infuriated secretly by the fact that after you did this thing for him and nominated him on the Working Families Party, he went out and he just basically, you know, cut your gizzards out.
Oh, we'll see how it all comes out on Election Day. I think we'll get a strong vote on our line because we have a long history of delivering for voters, and we have a lot of voters who, whatever they may think about the whole range of candidates we have on our line every year, they think that the Working Families Party is a strong progressive force in New York politics and want to see the Working Families Party get a big vote. And there are many people that want to see the governor get his votes on our line. So I think we'll do well, and I urge your listeners to help us do well, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, that there's a character issue here. Which is somebody helps you and then you kick them in the rear as a result of that. I don't quite get that part of it. Let's talk about fracking. The governor, I think we all thought in the beginning he was for it. Then up came this surge of activists who said no fracking. Pete Seeger, who said, you know, if you do this before he died, one of the great things he said was, if your father was the greatest, maybe he'd been the greatest governor, and you'll be the worst if you take their money and you allow the fracking. So now he's been studying this thing to death, this fracking. There are many people who suspect that as soon as he wins the second time, there'll be a report and there will be fracking. What do you think?
And I definitely think that the anti-fracking movement in New York State has been one of the most successful and effective progressive movements that we've seen, one of the most effective issue movements that we've seen in New York. And that we're part of it, have done an excellent job in winning the moratorium and delaying a decision and putting the pressure on the governor not to allow fracking and to allow the science, which is clearly shows that fracking is too dangerous to allow it to continue to be developed. And the more time goes on, the more we see what a bad idea it is. I don't know what he's thinking. I know that the anti-fracking coalition and movement is going to be continuing to grow in strength and push really hard that we go from a moratorium to a ban. And I certainly hope that's where we end up.
Well, you know, you and I have such a different approach to life. I always like to think the worst is going to happen, and you seem to, you know, go the other way.
That's because you're a political scientist and I'm an organizer, and I have to, you know, the way that you are successful as an organizer is you shoot for success, and that's how you get there. You know, my favorite quote from Nelson Mandela is that a winner is a dreamer who never gives up, and that's what we strive for, is to make sure that we strive for our dreams and then we work for them relentlessly because that's the only way to win.
Now, Andrew Cuomo put a tax cap on when he came in. This is not something I think that the Working Families Party admires because it has all kinds of ramifications, for example, in how we fund our schools and whether we have enough money. And I know you're so pro-education. So do you ever think about that?
Yeah, there's certainly, you know, there's a number of issues that we've disagreed with the governor on, particularly tax policy and education policy. Those have been the two biggest areas. And then there's a number of areas we've agreed with the governor on, including the issues that we discussed at our convention and that he committed to. And I found over all the years of doing, you know, political endorsements, every now and then you find a candidate that you can be, that is in 100% in agreement with you. But most of the time,
Isn't it about character and trust?
You know, character and trust obviously are very important to me, and I think
those
are things
say,
we look
for. I was
going
to say, in your mind, you know damn well it is. Okay,
and,
so.
But at the same time, you know, you have the choices you have in the world based on what's going to get you to your goal, which again, for us, is making lives better for working families in New York, and we think that the endorsement of the governor and that our work for the state senate is the way to make lives better for working families in New York, and we think votes on our line is what's going to achieve that.
If you manage to have your way and the senate goes Democratic working families, life will be good. I mean, obviously. But if the Republicans win, won't that sort of crippled what you've been trying to do. I keep thinking about the old Liberal Party. It was a good idea in the beginning. It was the unions. You're the unions. It was it was all good. And then they began little by little to sell out. You know, they made endorsements, which they shouldn't have made. It became, you know, one group sitting at the top who were advising them on what to do. How do you avoid that kind of thing happening to the Working Families Party?
I think that democracy is the short answer. I mean, the thing about our convention is whatever people thought about the outcome, it was a very robust debate. People got to vote their consciences. The outcome was the outcome. People who disagreed are most of them are still in the party and still fighting to make the party strong.
But wait, Karen, we're going to run out of time here, and I'm sorry. But it seems to me the unions were for some of the major unions were for endorsing Cuomo. I think based on what I was hearing and seeing about the convention, there was a huge groundswell of teach-out support. But the unions carried the day, even though they may not have had as many people. So when you talk about democracy, I'm concerned.
In the end, it was a vote of the state committee, and the state committee voted 59% to endorse Governor Cuomo, and that's individuals casting their votes. Some of them are union members, some of them aren't. People voted the ways that they voted at that convention. And I think it's the only party convention that we've seen in a long time where there was robust debate, two candidates put forward, and a vote taken where each state committee member cast their vote. And I think that the way that the Working Families Party stays, and I think regardless of what people think, regardless of which side people were in that vote, people on both sides of that vote agree that it was a question of difference in strategy, not a question of a difference in values and goals. We shared the same values and goals, which is a better New York for working families, and that's what's going to keep us together. And it's also what's going to keep the Working Families Party always striving to achieve those values and goals. The Liberal Party stopped having values and goals. It was about personal gain. The Working Families Party has never been and won't ever be about personal gain because it's not individuals. It's based on both a grassroots base and an institutional base.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll buy it. Okay, so Rob Astorino is the Republican candidate. It seems to me that he has missed the boat because this is blue state New York. It is pro-women's rights, pro-right to choose, and he went the other way. What could he have been thinking?
Yeah, it's kind of a mystery to me. I think that it's a year where there could have been a strong Republican candidate, and he is not. And I think you're right that on women's issues in particular, he's terrible. He's also pretty bad on just about every other issue that affects average working New Yorkers. But those are things that are maybe a little less visible. I think on his whole entire agenda, he has missed the boat.
I mean, even if you were George Pataki, you knew what the third rails were of politics, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, clearly George Pataki showed a Republican can win in the state of New York, but Rob Astorino is not that guy.
Yeah. Do you think Andrew Cuomo is a lot like his father?
You would know that better than me. I didn't know his father that well, and I only know him, you know, a little bit. So I think they both are practical politicians, and in that sense, they're very similar.
Well, I think that's right. Although I think Mario, who I have, of course, had a program with for many, many years, was more, it's a Jewish word, Hamish, down to earth than Andrew Cuomo is. So Cuomo, in his new book, said that he thought that maybe the name Cuomo hadn't helped him that much. I saw that as a sort of ingrate statement, and I was wondering, because I have no doubt that he would not be the governor or anything else without the Cuomo name. You have any reaction to that? Of course you don't, right?
Yeah, you know more about that than I.
I knew what you were going to say. Well, I love having Karen Scharf here. She is just terrific. She is, of course, the co-chair of the Working Families Party and executive director of Citizens Action. Karen, it's always great to have you here. If I gave you too hard a time, I apologize, but it was fun.
I enjoyed it, Alan. Thank you very much, and vote WFP.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.